Before I get started, the pastors and I were in the vestry and we were looking at the beautiful lake and the sunshine and we were thinking, you know, it's a good day to skip work. So thanks for being here, you know. It might be a good day to skip church sometimes, but you know, it's only 40 minutes. So get in and get out and whatever. Grace and peace and mercy are ours this day through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Raise your hand if you've heard that before. You've heard it? Yeah, okay. More than once? More than 100 times, maybe. Some of you, I imagine, you know. So many times you might have it memorized, you know. Or maybe it's your first time hearing it. In which case, perhaps these words will bring you some hope and grace and trust as it has to many over the centuries. Throughout this Easter season at Mount Olivet, we've been engaged in this sermon series that's called Not Just for Sundays, and we've been going through the worship, looking at pieces of the worship to see, you know, why in the world do we say or do these things and why does it matter? And then how might it help or we take it with us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And this week, if you haven't liked the sermon series, this is the last one, okay? And we're focusing on that benediction, this blessing that we're sent out with. And we may say any number of blessings at the end of worship. For instance, sometimes when I'm leading worship, I like this blessing that Paul writes to the Romans. It goes, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you may abound in hope. It's in chapter 13 of Romans. Or some of us might say just the simple one, may God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. But by far and away, the one we hear perhaps most often comes from the scripture reading that Pastor Cieslik read from the book of Numbers this morning. And Pastor Cieslik just said that no matter how I feel about the sermon, this will be the best sermon you've ever heard on the book of Numbers. How many of you heard a sermon on the book of Numbers before? See, that's what he means, right? Sorry. You know, so we're sent out with this blessing, and the book of Numbers tells of this time when the Israelites were freed from slavery and they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Pastor Dixon and I, we were reflecting on this scripture, and he noted wisely that this blessing has been around for nearly 4,000 years. And so each time we hear it, you're in the great vein of people who hear this blessing. And it's fair to say that somebody or someones around the world have perhaps heard this blessing every day for the last 4,000 years. And it's nice to be sent out with a blessing. And now you know that it comes from the book of Numbers. If you're like me, you've heard it so many times, it's kind of fun to know that you actually have some scripture memorized. And you can tell people, yeah, I got verses from the book of Numbers, I know, right? Which brings me to the next question, and I think I know the answer already. We've already covered it. How many of you are very familiar with the book of Numbers? Yeah. I'm with you. Even as a pastor, it's not a book I spend too much time in, and yet it's a really great book of wonderful stories of God's faithfulness and the relationship of people and God. And the context adds a lot. Numbers, as I said, tells of their wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, the Israelite people, as they went from slavery in Egypt and before they reached the land of Canaan. And remember the circumstances. This is essentially a community of tens of thousands of people camping in the desert. Some of you like camping. How would you like to go on a 40-year camping trip with your children? And your parents, and your in-laws, and your grouchy neighbors that you can't stand. And as they're out there, it gives an account of how they struggled in faith. Can you imagine how you might struggle in faith, 40 years camping? On top of that, there was the threat of impending war. They struggled with communal sickness. There was worries about leadership. There was even a rebellion or two amongst the people. Any of this sound familiar? Who says the Bible isn't relevant? My goodness. And they didn't know what the next day would bring, or if they could trust in a better future. It became so overwhelming that many of the people even started saying, you know what, let's go back to Egypt. It seemed better to be in slavery and to know what tomorrow brings than to be out here. Yet it's there in the wilderness that God talks to Moses and he says, give this blessing to the people. Put my name on them. Remind them over and over. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. And then that kind of perhaps confronts our idea of what blessing is. You know, we refer to Numbers as the book of Numbers because there's a couple chapters where they count. They take a census. But the Hebrew title of the word of the book is just the word that means in the wilderness. And there perhaps we find the power of the blessing. It's in the wilderness that God gives this promise. I think so often we think of blessing, and we tend to think of it as things that equal what we deem to be good and happy or prosperous or beautiful or wondrous or abundant by our worldly standards. And I think it can often kind of become materialistic or status-centered. I think of the Instagram post of the nice yard and hashtag blessed, right? And while it's good to acknowledge all that we have and we receive does indeed come from God, perhaps blessing is bigger than just what makes us feel good. Blessing is more of a statement that describes the spiritual atmosphere in which we reside. I get the sense that there's plenty of wilderness we encounter. Think about all that we encounter as a collective humanity. Some of the same things those people encountered. There's war, wondering if the climate will provide, global illness, uncertain economic realities. There's wilderness that we walk through as a nation. How will we treat people seeking safety from other places? How will we honor and respect people's bodies? How will we confront violence being wielded as political discourse? How will we care for our children as a society? And then there's the wilderness of your own individual life. You know, transitions that are difficult. Maybe job or school or sickness. Maybe romantic relationships that are hard or have fallen apart. You know, there's empty nesting. The realities of aging, grief of lost loved ones, the helter-skelter of raising a family, the rat race which tells us we never have enough, nagging anxieties and stresses. Am I hitting on a few things? You got any wilderness? But it's there that God says to Moses, keep saying this to the people, the Lord bless you and keep you. It might be kind of weird to hear that, but it points us back to just who this God is and who we belong to. As Christians, it points us to a God revealed in Jesus, a God who walks in the wilderness with us, who laughs and cries and gets angry and hurt and blesses and sees wonder and still suffers and even dies and yet continues to proclaim, I've got you. I don't know about you, but that's a word I need to hear, and often more than once. And what a word to be privileged to share. So we keep proclaiming it at the end of every worship. And we proclaim it because just like that first time it was proclaimed, it's for in the wilderness. the wilderness of what we're facing and about to face. It's a grounding, a hope that despite what is to come, God will not abandon you. And then as we go, we're recipients of that promise, but so too we become providers of it. You have God's name on you. God says, "Thus you shall put my name on the people, and I will bless them." And then, believe it or not, God's blessings flow in and through you to others, maybe even without you even knowing it. Worship, we could say then, is maybe a little oasis in the wilderness. A place where you hear it again for yourself in the midst of all the mess that you've got or all the mess that's out there. And then that water and that rest and that refreshment is carried with you. And we could say much more about it, but it's just 40 minutes. And that's why we keep coming back to the oasis. Today, perhaps you hear it again. I'll say it now, and then Pastor Cecil's going to say it again later, I think. In whatever you're facing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.